which have given us a flavour of who Jesus really is. They've given throughout the whole of the Hebrew scriptures. It shows who Jesus says, what he says, how he was to live, where he was to live. That he was born of a seed of a woman, that there was a sacrifice, he was in the tribe of Judah, he was going to be a prophet, he was going to have an everlasting kingdom. And this today, we're hearing about what God promises are to King David. And all through, especially towards the end of the what we sometimes call the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, there are all these references. There are over 200 references in different shapes and forms. And the angel Gabriel, we heard today, identifies Jesus as the son of David with an everlasting kingdom. In Luke's gospel, he is Great King David's greater son. So we've got that up there. So, now many of us, we have all come here today from our homes. Maybe we live in a bedsit or a house, maybe a bungalow or just in a comfortable place. It might be a bit cold, a bit damp. The heat hasn't gone on as much as we would like. Maybe a few of the furnitures need changing or the carpets are a bit thin. But I would like you to come with me today. If we go on to the next slide. Oh yes, the threads. Our threads of in the New Testament. You know what? For your homework, I was a teacher. Check it out. Am I saying things which are wrong? Check me out and see these beautiful threads are in the scriptures. If you can move on to the next slide. David's palace. We have an amazing palace. It was like this. We don't have a lot of it at the moment because many wars and have been fought in Jerusalem. But let's go together. 3,000 years ago, David's recently built palace. Look at those amazing floors, those massive rooms with beautiful thick curtains and exquisite artifacts around them. And there in one of the rooms is sitting is King David on one of those beautiful luxurious chairs with his good friend, the prophet Nathan. And to understand this passage that we heard that the Lord said to Nathan, we need the context. And in verse 1 of 2 Samuel 7, he talks about him being settled. Settled. He has already moved. He's built his palace. And all around him, the wars have ceased. And he's brought Israel rest. The ark has been taken out, taken from a small village and brought into Jerusalem and the tent of meeting. What a day. What a day. What a place to start. He starts thinking. However, maybe if you've got a takeaway today and you're feeling, amazing turmoil in my life, David was in a place of rest. He had done all. He had many turmoils in his life. And maybe in heart and soul and mind, you are in a spin. You don't know where you're going, coming and going, and the struggles and the muddles of life. But take heart. Take this away today. If it's just one thing, a brighter and better day is coming. There's always hope in Jesus. Keep those songs of hope and love in your hearts that we sing, because Jesus is a great risen Saviour of the world. And I know this from a costly mind when I've had mental issues some years ago, that God, I couldn't hear from God. I couldn't hear from anyone. But God brought me into a better and a brighter place. In verses 2 and 3, there's a wonderful and simple at the top. It says, so we go back one, there's that lovely palace at the top. It says, a simple or God-honoring thought and chat. And it's amazing how good it is to chat, especially for men. You know, we're not very good at chatting, are we? It's true for me. And it's fantastic to actually connect with someone that we can get on with. And here David says, here am I, sitting in luxury, but the tent of the Lord and the ark of the Lord is outside. He's thinking, I'm going to build a house. I'm going to build a house for my Lord. And maybe, we don't know why, he thought these thoughts. Maybe it was for honor God, to worship him. He had written lots of psalms of prayer and of praise. Maybe he was inspired to do his utmost for God's highest, for his great God. But maybe he thought to himself that he'll be like a little Messiah, that he could do it on his own, that he was the answer to Israel. And if we're honest, we all want to be little messiahs in our families and in society and internationally. Everybody likes a little messiah, don't they? We can see in the US election, there was a slogan which said on one of the candidates, Trump will fix it. Many sporting teams will pay millions of pounds because they think a player will fix the team, or pay millions of pounds to have a manager who will fix the team. But these messiah figures, we can be very easily seducted by them. We must not follow these people in, and we shouldn't take them that, we should take them a little bit lightly. In sport and politics, celebrity or even religious leaders. Because in the end, they disappoint. We know we disappoint. But God doesn't disappoint. David certainly had a heart and a love for God to build a house, but he didn't have the blessing of God. He wasn't told to do it. He was wanting to do his own thing. It's like, in the words of one of my favourite artists, Christian artist, Toby Mac, it was me without you. I'll be packing my bags when I need to stay. I'll be chasing every breeze that blows my way. I'll be building my kingdom just to watch it fade away. It's so true. That's me without you. Now the second part. On the second, if we can go to the next slide. I think it's not that one, next one. There we go. So the reading that Celia lovely spoke beautifully about God's amazing response. What a response. God hears and answers our prayer, but not in the way that David could have ever imagined. He was almost restrained, wasn't he? And let down very gently, but with an enormous and a consequential revelation. In verse 5, you're not going to build the house, mate. It's my house. I'm going to build it, God says, as it were. David didn't get what he asked for, but God had another and better plan for him. How wonderful. In verse 8, God gives him a biographical sketch of his life, his journey from the fields in Bethlehem to the king, settling the whole of Israel in peace and rest. And I'll make your name great. We say it today, don't we? My parents named me David. He said, I'll establish your home in verse 11 an everlasting kingship in verse 13 and 16. Your son will build my house. Your son will do it. Do you hear that he promises, God promises in a covenant to do this? He just says it without any conditions, just a firm promise. The human, but over the years, the human kings that will come after King David all lived and died. There wasn't an eternal king until the angel Gabriel said. How exciting. We're going to hear that, aren't we, next month? I can't wait. But this was an amazing moment in the history of Israel and the history of the world. This is like Abraham when he brought his son to Mount Moriah, like when Moses saw the burning bush, or even when before the around the birth of Jesus, Anna saw the baby Jesus in the temple. Wow. Yes. It was the king. It was the son of David. And this son of David was believed in the New Testament. Everyone knew that the son of David was the Messiah. Just remember, those blind beggars from Jericho, what did they say? Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus didn't decry them. All he said, what do you want me to do for you? The Messiah, as we got it, did immeasurably, actually, I'm going to go back one. Did immeasurably more than the prophetic prophecies about the Messiah, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would be a descendant of David, that his life would be restoring people, that he would enter Jerusalem on a donkey, that he would be betrayed by a friend, that he would be crucified and pierced with his hands and feet, that he would suffer violent death, and that he would be raised from the dead to life, and he would have victory over the evil, over sin, and of death. This is all in the Hebrew scriptures. How incredible. God has given his word to us to understand who he is and how we can love him and our neighbors as ourselves. The revelations in there are like flashes of light. Brilliant flashes of light. A little here, a little there. They help build this picture and infill who this person, this Messiah would be. Over the course of millennia, in fact, over 2,000 years, there is an astonishing unity in the Bible. The incredible consistency over different writers in different situations, and the clarity it contains, the threads we can trace are even testable. I'm just wondering if you can just go on to the last slide. Next one, last slide. That's it. King David, 35 years ago, or just a bit more before that. People didn't even think, there was no archaeological evidence for King David. And lots of people would say, oh no, he didn't exist. How do we know he existed? But a few years ago, there was an archaeological digs up in North Israel, a place called Tel Dan, and the inscription on the right-hand side, in an Aramaic, I think it is, says the house of David, the very word that is used here in Hebrew, the house of David. And what else didn't they like? They said, oh yes, he didn't do any of these big buildings, and there wasn't literacy. Well, we can even see a pot with writing on it, dated to this time. And this is not just with scholars who want to show this as their evidence. And this is with international archaeologists. And on the left, there is a place which you would know because it's the very place that just below it is where David met Goliath, the very place. Fortified ruins, very thick fortifications. Why? Because it was a border town. That border town was the place. Has only kosher things. It doesn't have any pigs. And all around it, on the other side of the valley, well, they're Philistines. They come from Greece. They have bones of pigs. It wasn't a Jewish town. And this amazing place is just one place with loads of pottery, which is datable to that very time, about 3,000 years ago. Isn't that incredible? Let's take time. What about for us? Let's take time to dig deep into God's word. They have dug deep in Israel to find all sorts of things. Let's deep to find out about it. It's a living word. God speaks today. He's a speaking God. He meets us here and now. It's bread on the plate while we wait. In Advent, let's look together and get excited for our coming redeeming King. King Jesus wants us to know his love for you. You were made to love God, and he lives, and in his light, our lives make sense. He can give you a blessing greater than your plans. That's what God, David asked, wanted to build a house, and God gave him not just a house, but a dynasty forever. Wow. And finally, what is David's response? What is David's response? If we can go back one, David's response. It's a humble response. What did David do? He took time to reflect on it all. And in my reader training, reflection has been a really important thing. It has helped me to no end. When we've got all sorts of ideas in our brains, reflecting on the good things and the bad things in the light of Jesus really straightens your path. It straightened my path. He worshipped God for who he is, for what he has done, his promise to him. And then he said, so be it. Do it, Lord. It was just like Mary and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. May it be done to me according to your word. What a beautiful, humble prayer. The women often get it right, don't they? But David, in humility, he knew that he was a nobody. But he couldn't stop telling everybody about somebody in his Psalms. You'll see this. You'll see it. That he knows he's no one. And he wants to tell everyone about someone. David's humble and grateful attitude is evident to all. It teaches us to be open to the possibility of God's vision and not to do our own thing or our culture's own thing, because it will take our hearts away. It will steal our hearts. And But his great and greatest promises to us, maybe you know some. You can think of some. We said it today. He is with us. God is with us. Remember in recording these things, that in forgiveness, he completely forgives every stain and every bitter thought. He strengthens us. God's promise to strengthen you. I've seen it. I know it. To give you peace, maybe you need that today. To give you a plan greater than yourself. What happens when we hold on tight to God's promises? We exercise our faith. We trust him to do it, like King David. We cry out to him in boldness. And leave it to him, to great King David's greater son. Because his shoulders are stronger and bigger than any of the burdens that we carry and all the troubles that we have. Then he gives us his peace that transcends all understanding. So in our recap, I don't know if I got prepped for that. The next one, last one. Yeah, here we are. A recap. Don't follow the world's messiahs. They'll only let us down in the end. God sees our heart and he has a better plan for us because the world wants to take yours. God's wisdom and promises are to be received and held on to really tightly. They are amazing. Reflecting upon the big moments in life can help you and me to have a better view of things. And of course, we need to tell everybody that we aren't anything particular, but we know someone who is. Great King David's greater son will save us constantly as our eternal King. He is living, he is active, he is loving, and let's make this prayer of the Virgin Mary our own. May it be to me according to your word. May your word be fulfilled. Amen.